It's Advent. And the question I want to invite you into today is, what am I passing on to others? Is it wise? Is it worthy? Is it faith, love, generosity? Is it fear, hurry, self-preoccupation? One thing is for sure, I will be passing something on this day. What should it be? We're going to read together in this Advent season the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, the story of the coming of Jesus. His introduction is unique among the Gospels. This is Luke chapter 1, the first few verses. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that had been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down or passed on to us by those who were from the first eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Of all the Gospels, only Luke writes this little prologue explaining what and how and why he did what he did. You might wonder with Luke, how did he come to write this Gospel? What was going on in his mind when he wrote it? Did he just dash it off on a Saturday afternoon? Had his wife been pestering him to put something down? Did he know that he was writing the Holy Bible? I don't think so. What he knew was that he was stewarding a great treasure. That little phrase, passed on, is actually a technical expression. Great New Testament scholar Ken Bailey, who lived for 30 years in the Middle East and was a very careful student of a Middle Eastern village life, talks about this process. That even to this day in many of the isolated villages, he learned what illumines what happened in the ancient world. In a village, if something was not terribly important, what he called rumor transmission would just let it fly. People do that nowadays, kind of like the game telephone. You never know how the information is going to end up getting distorted. But there would be certain traditions or certain teachings that a people would want to have passed on carefully. They were an oral society, but they had very careful ways of doing this in the ancient world. And there would be an authorized storyteller or teacher, and then there would be a student, a recipient, and that technical expression is this material would be passed on or handed down from one to another, and to receive it meant that you had to digest it thoroughly enough. You had to actually memorize it to a certain degree so that it could be taught and explained to other people as well. We see the same language in the Apostle Paul when he says in 1 Corinthians 15, "For that which I received, I also passed on to you as first importance, that Christ Jesus died for our sins." So this is material that Luke is very careful about. He understands that he has been given a great treasure, and he wants to pass it on to people quite well. There's another phrase here that's a real important one, that this was handed down by those who from the first were eyewitnesses, and then they became servants of the word. We see that little phrase again in Acts chapter 1, after Judas Iscariot has killed himself, and the disciples have to choose a new disciple, and they say it's got to be somebody who was with us from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And we see it again in John 15, verse 27. Jesus says to his disciples, "After I'm gone, you must testify about me, for you have been with me from the beginning." In other words, what you have experienced in your life, especially if you have experienced God and goodness and love as it has come uniquely through Jesus, you are to be a steward of that. So now the question is, what am I passing on? Am I passing on the gift of ultimate connection? I was with my wife last night, actually, and she was giggling. She was watching this video. I was reading something and I couldn't concentrate. So eventually she sent it to me. And some guy, I don't know if he's a psychologist or what, but he took the skull of a man's head. This is this one that I happen to have nearby. And he said, a man's brain is like this. It's filled with boxes. And every box contains a little discrete piece of information. There's a work box and a car box and a home box and a hobby box, and they're all separate from each other. So if you ask the man a question, he goes into his skull and he gets out that one box. He's very careful not to look at or touch any other box, doesn't want to think about another box, tells you about that box, and then very carefully puts it back. His favorite box is his nothing box. Men can think about nothing when you ask him, what are you thinking about? Nothing. They love that. And then he took a woman's skull and he said, now, a woman's brain is like wire that's all clumped and massed and interwoven together, and everything is connected to everything. The car is connected to the kids, is connected to what am I going to wear, is connected to who's seeing who, is connected to my work. It all is connected, and it all matters. It all tends to be charged with emotion, and that's why women can remember everything. And men can't remember hardly anything because they just don't care. Now, that may be neurosexist. It is certainly highly stereotypical, but it is kind of interesting. Nancy sent me that video and she's just been giggling over it. And I was in my reading box, so I didn't want to be interrupted with this other box. My wife literally came over to me and sat her body down next to me and said, "Be with me." She will say that sometimes because to be connected, to be with, is something much deeper than just a matter of having two bodies in physical proximity. It is a matter of connecting, of paying attention, of being aware. God made us for connection with one another, supremely with Him, with ourselves, the interior of our own lives, with the world around us, with its beauty, with our task, this moment right now for me to be connected with God and in some way with you. Larry Crabb wrote these remarkable words. When two people connect, when their beings intersect closely, something is poured out of one and into the other that has the power to heal the soul of its deepest wounds and restore it to health. And this brings us especially deeply to the one person above all, Jesus, in Advent. The one who receives experiences the joy of being healed. The one who gives knows the even greater joy of being used to heal. Something good is in the heart of each of God's children that is more powerful than everything bad. It's there, waiting to be released to work its magic, but it rarely happens. So the question today is, what will you pass on to others? Because I will pass something on for sure. And too often it's not being with, it's not connecting. I have a little two-year-old friend who said to her parents twice on a recent day, "I'm going to go to this room because I need my space." 2 years old. Now, from whom was that passed down? And I hope it was not, but I'm afraid it might well have been me. It's not a bad thing to learn that you need your space, but if all I have is space, I never connect. What you might think about today in this Advent season, as we think about Luke diligently reflecting on how could he pass on his greatest treasure, is what will I pass on to people around me today? How can I be connected with God? And then it may well be through a tradition or memories or a kind of a ritual that I want to establish with people that I love. For many, many years, when it was Christmas time, I would read a short story by O. Henry. You may well know about it, The Gift of the Magi, to my kids, to two of my children. The third would want me to read maybe a computer manual, but that was about it. But to the other two, although one of them went on to lie in college and say that I would read my own books to my own kids, which I never did, I would read that. It's the story of Jim and Della, young impoverished couple who desperately want to give something wonderful to each other. They have two objects of great worth, her long, beautiful, lustrous hair and his heirloom watch. And so secretly, she cuts off her hair and sells it so she can buy him a gold chain worthy of his watch. And he sells his watch so that he can buy her beautiful ivory combs for her hair. And they give each other those gifts and then realize that they are utterly useless, although they have come with great price. And then I would read to those two children the end of the story that I could hardly ever get through. The Magi, as you know, were wise men, wonderfully wise men, who bought gifts to the newborn Christ child. They were the first to give Christmas gifts. Being wise, their gifts were doubtless wise ones. And here I have told you the story of two children who were not wise. Each sold the most valuable thing he owned in order to buy a gift for the other. But let me speak a last word to the wise of these days. Of all who give gifts, these two were the most wise. Of all who give and receive gifts, such as they are the most wise. Everywhere, they are the wise ones. They are the Magi. So today, you'd be one of the Magi. You have this day to pass on gifts. Those are words that I would give about as much as I know to be able to read in that setting to that little audience one more time. But that is not available to me. Time passes in that way. Life passes in that way. You have this day to pass on the experience supremely of life and God and love and goodness. And if you know on the message of this one who came to abide with us that we're walking through in these days, and then you get to be one to pass that on to others. Today, pass on the gift of giving love. My wife later on today is actually going to take one of our grandchildren out to buy gifts. These, not for that grandchild. No, you don't get anything, but for other children who otherwise might not receive a gift on Christmas. So that the generosity of that great heart built up over so many decades might get built up a little bit more now into a little 6-year-old heart. That is the gift of the Magi. You have the treasure today of being able to pass on something wonderful. Once Luke did, our whole faith has just been passed on like that from one person to another, one generation to another generation. This is your day. Be deeply connected. See you next time.
Hey, thanks for joining us. My name is Tim, and I'm a part of the team here at Become New. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future videos from John. And you might like to know that John has hundreds more videos just like this one at our website, becomenew.com. You can go to the library there and browse and find something that might speak to you right now. You can also sign up for the email that goes along with each video there, or to receive a text alert whenever a new video is released. We wanted to let you know, too, that John's releasing a new book this February titled Steps, and we're really excited about it. You can pre-order that book at Amazon if you're interested, or if you want to just find out more information, you can do that at becomenew.com/steps. If you've got a prayer request, there's a group of us that meet each weekday, Monday through Friday, to pray for viewers just like yourself. You can send us that text request at 855-888-0444 or at our email connect@becomenew.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.